Coming up on Patriots This Week, the mission in Miami, not accomplished.
That was pretty bad. I mean, you can't get any worse than that.
The primetime rematch in South Beach seemingly had only one team ready for some football.
Sometimes you come out and you don't play as well as you want to.
Having played just one home game since the end of October, the Patriots may just be road weary.
We've had a lot of good nights this year, and this was a bad night.
Now it's the biggest test of the season. The black and gold of Big Ben and the Killer Bees.
We're going against probably one of the best offensive groups we'll see this whole year, so we really need to be ready to go.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Well, for the Patriots, a case of the Monday Night Blues in Miami as New England falls for the first time in its last nine games overall and sees a record 14-game road winning streak snapped in Week 14 of the NFL. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Soci, along with my radio partner from 98.5, the Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, and Matt Chatham, three-time Super Bowl champion for the Patriots. And we know that the Pats ultimately, guys, are still in a position where they can control their own destiny, going to Pittsburgh, a game we're going to get to. But how disappointing was the lack of energy at the outset and the execution overall?
I think the latter, the execution. It's one thing to come out flat, but if you have penalties, they killed themselves all night long. Defensively, I thought they held them in there pretty good early in that game, and then it started to break a little bit. Jay Cutler played well. You gave him opportunities. Tom Brady did not look so well in that football game, and I think, you know, not having Rob Gronkowski, and it's not an excuse. You know, they had a certain coverage that they played the entire game. One robber, we'll talk about that. It could be an indicator for times to come if you don't have the tight end.
Yeah, this is unusual to me early in that we haven't seen this particular sequence amongst the three where teams weren't good, offense wasn't good, defense was good until they finally relented on that third series. And even then was the perfectly called play, blown missed opportunity on a sack that ends up in a score. So then it becomes all three units are playing poorly, and you can't beat anyone like that. Down two on the turnover differential on the road against a division rival. And amazingly, I think this bears mentioning, the Patriots still had a chance. As bad as they played, I think that's helpful. When you go back in this week, you prepare for Pittsburgh, you watch the film and say, man, we killed ourselves.
It's the worst game they played since week one.
The Chiefs game.
It's the worst game they played since week one. They only lost by seven. But you're not hanging.
You know,
this head coach is not saying, hey, you know what? We only lost by seven.
No, you don't love that. But I'm saying it's good for you to know that those are fixable things. It'd be one thing if, like, you're just getting beat off the ball play after play after play. That's not what happened.
Well, let's talk about the Robert coverage. We saw it a year ago in the Super Bowl on the interception, Robert Alford with that pick six. Yeah. And it's a tactic that teams will employ. Is it designed to take away the middle of the field, the short stuff underneath?
I think once they knew in that game, meaning last year, that Super Bowl, that Martellus Bennett was on one leg and he doesn't have that speed to get vertical, you know what? We're going to come down with that robber. And what it does, it takes away your rhythm passing game, meaning the slants, the digs, the curls, the in-cuts, those inside crossers, where Tom Brady makes all his money. The problem is when teams see that, okay, if you don't have Gronkowski, we're just going to go one robber against you, and we're going to muddy that middle and make a 40-year-old make throws outside that maybe, you know, he can't make if you get pressure on him.
Well, he's made them in the past. I thought that what was really unusual this week, I probably undersold it last week, the idea that Tom missed two practices. But it did look like timing was off a little bit on some of these routes. Lower balls, the deep comeback stuff, where it was just a little off. And it's not because, you know, within a week of work, it's back and it's normal as you always remember it. But to the one-robber stuff, the routes you have to win on is the deep outside comebacks. You have to be able to win solo. You have to be able to get singular separation and in that moment have the ball delivered. And this was an unusual game in that in those moments, the ball wasn't always right on him. And the route wasn't great either. So when you've got a handful of guys who weren't having their best week as far as getting separation, and you don't have Gronk, as Zoe mentioned, and you have no running game, tough to do offense.
And no completions to a receiver until the second half, and Brandon Cooks really a non-factor until a very late catch in that game.
And you got to understand what he is. His role is as a speed guy. And as a speed guy, you got to be able to run by people at some point. You know, you look at some of the Miami receivers, and again, they're separating from Malcolm Butler. They're separating from Stephon Gilmore. There's separation there. There was no separation by anybody. Every single throw that Brady made, whether it was the back, a tight end, or even a receiver on the outside, which came later in the game, they were all contested.
Chris Hogan coming off the injury shelf for the first time in a month. Was he rusty? The fact that Brady was going so often to Brandon Cooks, Without Gronkowski, Amendola really didn't become a factor until the second half. When you look at them overall offensively, they were playing shorthanded.
Yeah, and I think you got to pick your spots with Hogan. You could work all you want to do with a trainer while you're injured, while you're rehabbing, while you're coming back. Until you get the pads on the helmet and get out there and have actual contact you got to run through, he'll be okay. He'll be better this week.
Yeah, I think for sure. And it was very important that you get production from that spot, and you didn't have it, especially with him supplanting Dorsett not getting the reps in that game. And you're relying upon a guy who has any game reps. So we do this a lot where it's like, oh, you know, I think he's going to be ready. I think he's going to be available. And like, what are you going to expect from a guy that hasn't played, you know?
But the other thing about the Patriots statistically that really stands out is 0-for-11. On third down. First time they've gone without a third down conversion since 1991.
I was
a lot
on the roster. Those are the bad days.
I was in middle school.
You were calling probably Midget League Baseball games. that's how bad it is. No, 0-11. That is embarrassing on third down.
Yeah, but the way you get there, though, is not just bad third down passing. It's a lack of first and second down.
Obviously. Terrible, yeah.
Third and longs.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you what, if you put a third and one. Third and one, and you're throwing 17-yard comebacks to the outside. Yeah. I'm like, who is this offense?
What is going on?
What are they? Yeah.
A week ago, the back and forth between Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels captured a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. This week, it was the impassioned histrionics and talking to the Daron Harmon delivered to his teammates on the sideline. What's your takeaway from that?
I think it's good. It's a good sign because of the leadership role. Meaning, you know, he's a captain this year. He got a nice little contract. And it takes, I think, some of the pressure off Devin McCourty. You know, Devin's kind of that guy, too. But I think Devin's standing back saying, you know, it's nice to get a little bit of that other leadership from a young guy. You could start to see him becoming a damn good pro here.
Yeah, I just think it's an accountability thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean after the speech happens, you know, this isn't like the longest yard or some like rah-rah speech where everyone runs on and you play wonderfully. It's not that. It's just setting sort of a line in the sand that's the accountability level. That can't be how it's going to be. And it'll help more down the line. I think, again, in the moment, you're not going to reconfigure the whole defense and everyone go out and play
Pittsburgh
like Pro Bowlers.
Pittsburgh did it with Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin called the defense up, chewed them out. Next thing you know, they give up two drives to Baltimore like that.
Right.
But they end up winning the game. I think, like to what Matt said, it's establishing a point so that you're going to look back somewhere down the line and say, this is where we change. This is where we flip the script.
You worried about Malcolm Butler?
I'm worried because of the matchup coming this week. You know, but he has stepped up against Antonio Brown, so let's see what he does again. Let's wait and see. If he doesn't do it, and that's two really, I think, difficult weeks for him back-to-back, and we can talk about that next week.
It depends on who you put him on, right?
And yeah.
I think the certain kind of matchup, he'll smoke
he
him all
rises,
day long.
I mean, I love his compete level.
But if you get the straight speed guy and you get the technique off a little bit, then it can be a problem.
He's the closest guy, it reminds me, not from a skill set, but some of the skill set stuff with Ty Law. Remember Ty's motor? And his compete level, his anger. Yeah. Malcolm's got a little bit of that, and that's why I like it.
Your reaction to the acquisition of Kenny Britt, and he was cut loose by Cleveland. He's a well-traveled receiver from Rutgers originally. Patriots have had interest in him in the past.
I think you go back, you look at it as a sign of if something happens to our tight end, I'm talking 2 weeks from now in a playoff game, maybe an AFC Championship game, a Super Bowl. All we know is people are going to play cover one robber against us, and we need something to help. We need more help on the outside.
I go and flip in sort of like a play, a highlight deck of this guy from his Rams year. What's the two routes ran over and over and over again? 20-yard digs, deep comebacks. And I'm like, what's the two routes they could complete against Miami? 20-yard digs, deep comebacks. I'm like, he's a big, long, tall guy. The people make the Michael Floyd sort of comparison. He'll block well. He'll do stuff down the field for you. I think he provides something that they have a hole in right now.
Real quick, too, I think it also tells you that you could probably shelf the Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah,
you know,
unfortunately,
excitement.
It sucks. It sucks because that would have been a big help.
Yeah. All right, Dom Banks up next. We'll be back later to talk about the Pats and the Steelers. We'll continue right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Devin McCourty. The 5'10", 195-pound Rutgers graduate recorded his first sack of the year against the Dolphins. Drafted in the first round in 2010, McCourty's leadership skills are undeniable. 7 times he's been voted a team captain in his 8 years in New England. And his intelligence and great tackling ability make him invaluable to the Patriots' way of defense.
The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time for Bank Shots with our Patriots.com NFL insider, Don Banks. And Don, unfortunately, Carson Wentz went down to injury in the midst of a terrific season individually and collectively for he and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, quarterback entrusted with Nick Foles. He's been there before for the Eagles as the starter. Can he carry this team not only to the finish line of the regular season, but where they expect to go, Super Bowl 52?
Not by himself, Bob, but with help, yes. With a defense that has really played lights out all season and with a running game that is very, very stout as well, the Eagles' blueprint still works. It's interesting. I talked to Jeff Hostetler yesterday for a story I wrote. And, of course, 27 years ago, he was kind of Nick Foles. He was being asked in mid-December to kind of keep a team Super Bowl season afloat. And he got it done, going 5-0 down the stretch. Hostetler said he absolutely believes Nick Foles has an advantage over him and that he's got far more experience. I think the Eagles' magic season took a blow, but it's not over.
And it's a blow for the NFL, too. Such a shame to see him go down, especially after the entertaining performance between the Eagles and the Seahawks with Wentz matched up with Russell Wilson, who had a poor game against Jacksonville. And then you have Tom Brady coming off a disappointing effort, certainly against the Miami Dolphins. Those are three leading contenders for MVP, whereas Antonio Brown shines against the Ravens. Has the door now open for him in route to that award?
To some degree. It's tough for a receiver. They don't touch the ball unless a quarterback gets them the ball. However, he impacts every game he is in. I'll say this, it's going to likely be a quarterback unless those one-game slumps in Week 14 turn into 3 or 4 week slumps.
Now, once again, ugliness on the NFL fields. This week, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Seahawks and Seattle not responding well. And then the fans, of course, going over the line from Jacksonville. First of all, Michael Bennett, his actions on the field amidst the melee there. And then you've got Jefferson for the Seahawks, the target of objects being thrown from the stands, trying to climb into the stands.
You know, a few years ago, we had that problem with Greg Schiano teaching the Bucs to go at kind of the victory formation. I don't think it's a good look, and I also think I'm surprised that second play didn't warrant suspension. Sheldon Richardson took a swing at a Jacksonville center. I'm surprised that didn't get the league's attention. I really think they're probably saying, playoff race, late in the season, let's not affect the balance of the competitive, you know, situation on the field by penalizing Seattle. But in a lot of situations, had that game been on primetime, I think you see suspensions.
Don, thanks for your help.
Thanks, Bob.
Insights from Don Banks with our Bank Shots. We'll continue with more right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. What we're going to do, going back to my hometown, Pittsburgh, I can't wait to get back there, see all the family. Can't wait to see these guys. Yes, I could. Stop it right here. What do you got? Antonio Brown at the top. Martavius Bryant, Jesse James. List goes on and on. Le'Veon Bell. I'm more worried about this guy. Number 19, fresh legs. He was suspended last week. Juju Smith-Schuster. Why? Watch him get vertical right here. Big Ben is one of the best, has been one of the best deep ball throwers in the game. Their ability to go down the field, it's a matchup nightmare, these Pittsburgh Steelers. Stop it right here. What you got here is Schuster going in motion. They ran this play with the backup tight end. It's the old shovel pass. Everybody's starting to do it now. Watch it here. Kansas City does it. This is a new wrinkle for the Steelers. Little quick guy underneath. Knows how to get the ball in the end zone. Now, the coup de grace. This is the one that I love right here. You take a look at him right here. 97 yards. Where's he at in the middle? Oh, this is a great job. Cover two right here. Let's just open up the middle of the field. Uno makes this guy Mitch. Dos right there. And Trace, we're not in Mexico, but I just did the Spanish version right there. Juju Smith-Schuster, find number 19, little guy. He just got his license. It can't be that good. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Back at our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, Bob, Zoe, and Matt looking ahead of the Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, something the Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin was willing to do a few weeks ago, and took a little flack for that, but his team held serve, albeit by the narrowest of margins, coming off a win over Baltimore, 39-38.
Look at the timing of when Tomlin said it. He said it before the Cincinnati game and the Baltimore game, two very tough divisional games that were probably losable games for that team at that time, and his team weathered the storm. I watched that whole Baltimore game. They came out. They had some issues. I thought Baltimore showed a lot of resiliency. But for whatever reason, and Pittsburgh's had a lot of these, whatever people want to call them, ugly wins, 11-2 doesn't come by accident.
They barely beat the Colts. They barely beat the Browns. They barely beat a mediocre Bengals team. They gave up 38 points at home to the Ravens, who couldn't score on anyone throughout this year. So I thought as I was watching that game, and this is before knowing the result of the Patriots-Dolphins thing, but I wondered what the reaction would be if the Patriots played the Dolphins at home and won 39-38. I mean, would they be feeling good about things right now? Would we be going to the Steelers game, you know, pom-pomming? Probably not. And the Steelers sort of get the pass that the record is what the record is. But that was as unimpressive a win against Baltimore at home as I think the Patriots going on the road and having a stinker against the Dolphins. I don't think either of these teams come in, shouldn't feel too good about themselves. They both need to prove something this weekend.
Well, still, it's a game of matchups, as you guys know better than most. And in this case, you've got a matchup with three of the best offensive players in the NFL, the quarterback Roethlisberger coming off a 500-yard performance, the running back Bell, as good as it gets running or receiving from that position, and then Antonio Brown, who's in the conversation for MVP once again.
One thing about Roethlisberger, too, Matt, I don't know how much film you've watched on him. He's not extending plays like he used to.
That's
more strictly a pocket guy. It's going to hang. And I think he can turn the ball. You can get him to turn the ball over because his receivers are so good that he trusts them. You know what I'm saying? He's going to force the ball into points where, okay, they're going to fight for it, but, boy, what the reward I get on the other end of it if they do catch it. Ben will gamble, and he'll put the ball up and give you a chance to get a turnover.
Early in the season, they were playing much better defense, and this offense was struggling. We just kept saying, oh, the three Bs, they're going to turn it around, and they couldn't. They were really mediocre offense throughout most of this year. The last few weeks really turned it up, and all, you know, a 500-yard week, you can't, you know, and Baltimore plays pretty salty defense. So that to me, is more like who I think they were, closer even last year. The defense was and the offense was explosive. I think they're back to that formula.
How do the Patriots try to match up with those guys? Do you anticipate Butler on Brown once again as that rivalry has really developed the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think he sticks with him because I think there's a comfort level there. And it's knowing the other player, there's a commonality there to where he can match up. And in his mind, I need him to be confident. The question is, what do you do with Gilmore? What do you do with Rowe? What do you do with Jones? Martavis Bryant is the bigger guy, but he's also one of the faster guys. So I don't know.
That's your Gilmore guy, right?
I would say put Gilmore on him, but I just hope he can hang with the speed.
And Pat Chung's had a big role in the games against Pittsburgh the last couple of years, dealing with Bell and company. He was shaken up at the end of the Miami game.
Yeah, on that phenomenal kick, or whatever you want to call that thing at the end. We knew something was coming on there. And you got to try kicks like that at times. I understand it. You're desperate. But hopefully he can move around well because he's going to need Pat Chung in this game big time. Because if it's not him, it's McCourty.
You need your best tacklers, and that has more to do with the running game. Le'Veon Bell, you need people who can pursue, who can get there, can make the play.
Can the Steelers match up with the Patriots in this game? Do you anticipate significant changes against New England?
I don't. I don't know. I watched that game last week and one before. They have issues in their secondary. They have corners that take chances. They don't play sound football. Safeties love to come up. It's the old, we're going to knock your you-know-what off, and you're going to get them on a play action, and you're going to play action them to death, and you're going to free release that tight end. Cincinnati's third tight end was running free vertical down the seams. That shouldn't happen.
If you have issues going on the back end and you lose Ryan Shazier, you cannot just say, we're going to play man with just the defensive backs, because then that means the linebackers have to play man. And your linebackers match up well. And that's really where the Patriots stress you, with their back group and with their tight end.
All right, Pats have won the last few between these teams. Scott and Matt are going to tell us if they'll do it again right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
All right, the Patriots are going to Western Pennsylvania to take on the Steelers back home for you, Scott Zolak. Do the Pats come back home with a win.
They actually do, Bob, but my game changer is going to be Rex Burkhead in this game. You got the big tight end back. He's going to command a lot of attention. I think Burkhead in the red zone, little F angles, little seam routes. Patriots 30, Pittsburgh 26.
That's a good one, Zoe. I like that. I'm going to go 27-20 Patriots. I think it's going to be a competitive game, a little reminiscent of last week's score, but good guys this time. Big week for Deion Lewis. When Bill gets salty, Coach Belichick gets salty in a week to reestablish the run game, that means they come out hard against a group. I think they can move it on the ground.
Well, it's a homecoming for Deion Lewis as well. Played his college games at Heinz Field for the University of Pittsburgh. That does it for us this week on Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks, I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks so much for joining us. So long, everybody.